All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayet Nashtaprayeshva Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatir Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 3, entitled The Bhumi Gita, verse number 17. Yugani Yuga Dharmamscha Manam Pralaya Kalpayo Kalas Yeshwara Rupasya Gatim Vishnur Mahatmanaha. Yugani Yuga Dharmascha Manam Pralaya Kalpayo Kalas Yeshwara Rupasya Gatim Vishnur Mahatmanaha. Yugani Yuga Dharmamscha Manam Pralaya Kalpayo Kalas Yeshwara Rupasya Gatim Vishnur Mahatmanaha. Yugani, the ages of the universal history. Yuga Dharman, the special qualities of each age. Cha, and Manam, the measurement. Pralaya, of annihilation. Kalpayoho, and of universal maintenance. Kalasya, of time. Ishvara Rupasya, the representation of the personality of Godhead. Gatim, the movement. Vishnu, of Lord Vishnu. Mahatmanaha, the Supreme Soul. Translation and a purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation for this verse. Please explain the different ages of universal history, the special qualities of each age, the duration of cosmic maintenance and destruction, and the movement of time, which is the direct representation of the Supreme Soul, the personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. Next verse. Shri Shuka Uvacha Krite Pravartate Dharmas Chatushpa Tajjanair Dhritaha Satyam Dayatapodanam Mitipada Vibor Nrupa. Shukadeva Goswami said, my dear king, in the beginning, during Satya Yuga, the age of the truth, in the beginning, during the Satya Yuga, the age of truth, religion is present with all four of its legs intact and is carefully maintained by the people of that age. And these four legs of powerful religion are truthfulness, mercy, austerity and charity. Purport. Just as there are four seasons, there are four ages of the earth, each lasting hundreds of thousands of years. The first of these is Satya Yuga, when such good qualities as charity are prominent. Actual charity, here referred to as Danam, is to award fearlessness and freedom to others, not to give them some material means of temporary pleasure or relief. Any material charitable arrangement will inevitably be crushed by the onward march of time. Thus only realization of one's eternal existence beyond the reach of time can make one fearless. And only freedom from material desire constitutes real freedom, for it enables one to escape the bondage of the laws of nature. Therefore, real charity is to help people revive their eternal spiritual consciousness. Religion is here referred to as Vibhu, the mighty, because universal religious principles are not different from the Supreme Lord Himself and ultimately lead one to His kingdom. The qualities mentioned here, truthfulness, mercy, austerity and charity, are universal non-sectarian aspects of pious life. In the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the fourth leg of religion is listed as cleanliness, but according to Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, this is an alternative definition of the word danam in the present context.
Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamcha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ. సో టుడే వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం 12th క్యాంటో చాప్టర్ 3 ఎంటైటిల్డ్ ద భూమి గీత. ద కరెంట్ వర్స్ విచ్ వి ఆర్ డిస్కసింగ్ టుడే, పరీక్షిత్ మహారాజ్ హీ హర్డ్ ఫ్రమ్ సుఖదేవ్ గోస్వామి అబౌట్ ద సిమ్టమ్స్ ఆఫ్ కలియుగ. The previous chapter Sukadeva Goswami described in detail. So after hearing those symptoms, Parishit Maharaj is asking certain questions, which is taking the conversation ahead. So in the Parishit Maharaj asks, essentially the first question he asks is that how can the people in the Kali Yuga can get rid of the contamination of Kali Yuga, which was discussed yesterday. And then today's verse, he is asking that, please explain the four yugas, and please explain the special qualities of each age, and the duration of each particular yuga, and what is the yuga dharma in this each age, and what are the qualities of each age, and please describe the movement of time, which is nothing but the personality of Godhead. The time is another feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking questions about the four yugas and how to actually get rid of the contamination of the Kali Yuga. And then Sukadeva Goswami is beginning to answer. He says that Krite Pravartate Dharmas Chatushpad Tajjanair Dhritaha. The first yuga begins with Krita Yuga or Satya Yuga. Satya Yuga is called as Krita Yuga because everything was perfectly done in Satya Yuga. All the principles were perfectly followed, so therefore it is also called as Krita Yuga. And in the Krita Yuga, all the four pillars of religion, all the four legs of religion were perfectly intact. And Sukadeva Goswami says that what are the four pillars of religion? Satyam, Daya, Tapo and Danam. The first canto, the four pillars of religion are called as Satyam, Daya, Tapa and Shaucham. But here instead of the word Shaucham, Danam is mentioned. So Vishnu Chakotipad says that this is an alternative definition of the word danam in the present context, like that he is giving the contempt, he is giving the comment. Shaucham and danam, they have the same import. But of course, in the purport, especially on the word danam, it is explained that danam is charity. And charity, the real charity or the highest charity is to actually award one freedom from fearlessness, freedom from fear, which actually comes by giving transcendental knowledge. So that is one point which is mentioned. And when we talk about the four pillars of religion, so there are four sinful activities: meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling. So these four sinful activities, they destroy these four principles of dharma: austerity, cleanliness, tapasya and truthfulness. So especially talking about the point danam, that is charity.
So we will discuss about two personalities who exemplified the principles of charity, which are also in connection to today. One personality who exemplified the principle of charity by writing so many transcendental literatures, which actually laid the foundation of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. By those literatures, by the transcendental knowledge present in those literatures, a living entity can get the freedom from fear. The living entity can attain freedom from the material bondage. In fact, this personality is Jiva Goswami. And then the other personality who also exemplified the principle of charity is Bali Maharaj. And today is also the Vamana Dwadashi, so therefore we'll discuss about the pastimes of Vamana Dev in relation to Bali Maharaj, who exemplified this principle of charity. And Bali Maharaj is glorified by Rupa Goswami as Dana Veera in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So talking about Jiva Goswami, so there is this principle which comes in the Vedic literatures, Jivo Jivasya Jivanam. One living entity is food for another living entity. But the same phrase which comes in the Bhagavatam, but the same phrase has a much deeper import for all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Jivo Jivasya Jivanam. That means the literatures left by Jiva Goswami, they are the life-giving nectar for all the living entities. So Jivo refers to all the literatures written by Jiva Goswami. Jivasya, for the living entity. Jivanam means they are the life-giving nectar for all the living entities. So Jiva Goswami's contribution is so immense. Nobody has written so many verses in glorification of the Supreme Lord. Jiva Goswami has written 4 lakh verses in so many different books, actually. So his scholarship is something phenomenal. So I'll try to speak something about the character of Jiva Goswami. So Jiva Goswami, he appeared in this world at a very crucial moment, especially towards the end of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he played a very crucial role after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this planet. And he had a very significant responsibility, and he helped the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya retain its purity. He gave direction for the Sampradaya, and he gave a strong philosophical foundation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself wrote only 8 shlokas, the 8 shlokas of Shikshashtakam. But Mahaprabhu's disciples, headed by Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Jiva Goswami, so they gave a strong philosophical foundation to Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So especially Jiva Goswami's contribution is greatly immense. So Jiva Goswami, some of the roles played by Jiva Goswami is that Jiva Goswami, he kept the unity of the movement by sending Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Shyamananda Pandit to Bengal with the works of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and his own works. Jiva Goswami, the great personalities like Janava Devi would actually consult Jiva Goswami. Janava Devi was considered as a leader, the consort of Nityananda Prabhu. She was considered as a leader at that time. But she would also consult Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami, He also dealt with the physical assets of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, the excavation of Radha Kunda, Shyama Kunda, establishing them properly. The physical assets of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, in the sense that the books written by Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and all those books were properly taken care of by Jiva Goswami. So Raghunath Das Goswami left his library in the name of Jiva Goswami. And Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, they kept their books under the care of Jiva Goswami. That means they wrote a will and they said that Jiva Goswami would, we leave our books in the custody of Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami also protected the temples of Vrindavan by maintaining a proper relationship with the Rajputs, the local dharmic kings connected to that particular region. And Jiva Goswami was many times criticized by the Sahajiyas as somebody who was too much dedicated to scholarship. And therefore he was not a Rasika Bhakta. Like that Jiva Goswami was actually criticized. And they felt that being a Rasika Bhakta and being a scholar, they go ill together. And they felt that, Jiva Goswami is too much dedicated to scholarship. But actually Jiva Goswami, we find when we go through the literatures of Jiva Goswami, we find his deep scholarship, and also we can see how he was such a Rasika Bhakta. He described the different pastimes of Krishna. So Jiva Goswami also played a great role as a teacher. So sometimes somebody may write many books, but one may not have the patience to actually teach one-to-one different people. And sometimes a person may have maybe teaching and spending time with the people, but they may not be doing some cutting edge research, or they may not write many books. But Jiva Goswami, he wrote so many literatures, and he also personally guided and taught many disciples. In fact, many gurus from all over India, they would send their disciples to study under Jiva Goswami. So the famous examples in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, so Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Pandit and Srinivas Acharya, they all had different spiritual masters, but their gurus sent them to take shiksha from Jiva Goswami. So Jiva Goswami, he taught them. And if we see, and also Jiva Goswami would edit the books of Rupa Goswami. Jiva Goswami, when he came to Vrindavan, he was assisting Rupa Goswami by performing many menial services. And then he would help Rupa Goswami in the editing of his books. So this is also actually precedent for, like, Rupa Goswami, he would give his books to Jiva Goswami for editing. In one of the letter written by Jiva Goswami to Srinivas Acharya, Jiva Goswami mentions that, so these are the books I am sending to you, and these are the books for which editing is going on, and I will send those books later after the editing is over. Like that Jiva Goswami gives a letter to Srinivas Acharya that after the editing is over, I will send further books and then you can actually distribute those books, like that. So this is also a precedent for the editing of the books of an Acharya by the senior disciple of that Acharya after the disappearance of that Acharya. Like sometimes there is a question about how can we edit the books of an Acharya, like that. But there is a precedent for this, that Jiva Goswami was editing the books of Rupa Goswami. And then
There is one very famous pastime in connection to Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. Once Vallabha Bhatta came to meet Rupa Goswami. At that time Rupa Goswami was writing the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And Rupa Goswami was showing his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu to Vallabha Bhatta. And Vallabha Bhatta said that, Vallabha Bhatta actually read that verse in which Rupa Goswami mentions that, in which Rupa Goswami compares the mukti and bhukti, the desire for enjoyment and desire for liberation, to be the witch or a ghost which completely haunts a living entity. Just like when a ghost actually haunts a person, the person actually forgets his real identity. So when Vallabha Bhatta read this verse, Vallabha Bhatta said that, oh, this statement is so harsh. I understand that bhakti is something very great, but just to call bhakti very great, you don't have to criticize mukti in such a harsh manner by calling mukti as a ghost, as a pishachi. Then Rupa Goswami, he humbly accepted that correction. So at that time, Jiva Goswami was actually fanning Rupa Goswami. He was actually hearing that conversation. And then later, Vallabha Bhatta went to take bath in Yamuna. And Jiva Goswami went to Vallabha Bhatta. And Jiva Goswami told him that actually, mukti is not a witch. But Mukti Devi is a servant of the Lord. But the desire for Mukti is compared to a witch. Because the desire for Mukti, the desire for Sayujya Mukti is compared to a witch. Because when a living entity aspires for Sayujya Mukti, when he attains Sayujya Mukti, there is no opportunity to render service to the Supreme Lord. So from that point of view, that once a person attains Sayujya Mukti, there is no opportunity to render service to the Lord. So from that point of view, the desire for Mukti is compared to a witch. So any desire apart from the desire to serve the Lord is a witch. So Jiva Goswami explained in that manner. Then Vallabha Bhatta accepted that explanation. And then he came and told Rupa Goswami, oh, please don't change that verse. Let that verse be as it is. And later, Rupa Goswami wanted to know, like, why Vallabha Bhatta is telling not to change. And then he came to know that Jiva Goswami spoke to Vallabha Bhatta. And Rupa Goswami became so angry with Jiva Goswami, and he told him that you must leave Vrindavan because you are proud of your scholarship. You are wanting to actually defeat another person. The very attitude of defeating others is not the mood of Vrindavan. So, and Jiva Goswami actually accepted the chastisement, and then he started living outside. He started performing great austerities. He started living at the hole of an alligator in Mathura. So he was performing so much austerities, he became so thin and lean. And other Vrajavasis, they were actually very pained to see the austerities of Jiva Goswami. And they came and reported this to Sanatan Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami, he came and told Rupa Goswami, you are not following one of the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Rupa Goswami asked, like, which instruction? Please tell me which instruction I am not following. I'll correct myself. So then Sanatan Goswami said that you are not following this instruction of Jive Daya. Jive Daya Name Ruchi Sarva Dharma Sar. Jive Daya Name Ruchi and Vaishnava Seva. These are the three important instructions of Mahaprabhu. He said you are not following Jive Daya. You are not showing
compassion to Jiva Goswami. So then Rupa Goswami immediately called Jiva Goswami. Immediately called Jiva Goswami, and Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami personally nourished Jiva Goswami back to good health by taking care that he gets proper prasadam, etc. So Jiva Goswami, so this is a, in this particular pastime we can see like so many aspects. First of all, Rupa Goswami, he corrected the disciple in the role of a guru. He taught the disciple that even though it may appear that it is not justified, but there is a deeper concern from the point of view of a guru, that he was concerned about the disciple should have the proper mood. That the Rupa Goswami played the role as a guru, and then he actually corrected Jiva Goswami with the proper mood. And Jiva Goswami as a disciple, he defended his guru in the right way by actually speaking to Vallabha Bhatta. And Jiva Goswami also as a disciple, when he was chastised by the guru, he humbly accepted that chastisement without trying to justify his position. And Sanatana Goswami, as a senior devotee, he looked after the well-being of a Jiva Goswami by speaking to Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami, when he was actually told by Sanatana Goswami, he actually humbly accepted the guidance of Sanatana Goswami. Because Rupa Goswami, like he was sleeping under different tree every day. And he was actually directly witnessing Krishna's pastimes. But when he was told that, oh, that you are not following Mahaprabhu's instruction, but Rupa Goswami accepted that, and he called Jiva Goswami back, and then he personally nourished Jiva Goswami back to his good health. So in this way we can see that there was no ego in any of these relationships. Jiva Goswami's relation to Vallabha Bhatta, or Rupa Goswami is dealing with Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami's interaction with Rupa Goswami, like that. So, going ahead, if we see the books written by Jiva Goswami, so Jiva Goswami has written around 25 different works, or maybe more. And the books written by Jiva Goswami can be classified into four categories. One, some of the books come under the categories of commentaries written for other books. Jiva Goswami wrote commentary for Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is called as Durgama Sangamani Tika. And Jiva Goswami wrote commentary for Brahma Samhita. He wrote commentary for Srimad Bhagavatam, Krama Sandarbha. So some of the books fall under this category. And some of the books are philosophical works. The main famous book is the Shad Sandarbhas. The Shad Sandarbhas are the books which actually give the philosophical foundation to Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Actually, Prabhupada has used all the points of Jiva Goswami throughout his purports. The Achintya Bheda by the philosophy was given the philosophical foundation by Jiva Goswami, the Paramatma Sandarbha. And Jiva Goswami establishes Srimad Bhagavatam as the Chakravarti among all the Pramanas in the Tattva Sandarbha. And Jiva Goswami establishes how the Bhagavan realization is the highest realization in compared to the Brahman realization in the the second Sandarbha, that is Bhagavad Sandarbha. And Jiva Goswami proves how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Purna Purushottam Bhagavan, so thoroughly in the Krishna Sandarbha. So the first four Sandarbhas are about Sambandha Tattva. First Sandarbha, he established the position of Srimad Bhagavatam. The second Sandarbha, he establishes the position of Bhagavan. Bhagavan realization is higher than the Brahman realization. The fourth Sandarbha, he talks about the position of Paramatma, the Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. The third Sandarbha. And the fourth Sandarbha, he establishes that among the different forms of Bhagavan, so Krishna is the original form of Bhagavan. And the fifth Sandarbha is about establishing that relationship with Bhagavan through the process of Bhakti. So that is Bhakti Sandarbha. The sixth Sandarbha is the fruit of Bhakti, that is the Preeti Sandarbha, love for Krishna. So Jiva Goswami, the Sandarbhas, he uses what is called as the Stuna Nikanna Nyaya. Stuna Nikanna Nyaya means, like suppose when you want to like put a pole into the ground. So you first dig the earth, you remove the mud from the earth, and then you put the pole, and then you fill the mud around the pole. And the pole may be standing, but still to ensure that there is no way that the pole will fall down because of some cyclone or because of air, you ensure that the the mud around, the earth around the pole is very strong. So that you put actually, although the pole may be standing, but still you put more actually sand around, more clay around the pole, and then you actually nicely maybe beat the the clay around the pole, so that there is absolutely no chance that the pole will actually fall. So similarly, Jiva Goswami uses this Tuna Nikanna Nyaya. Like he established, whatever conclusion he takes, whether in relation to establishing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the position of Bhagavan, or the Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, or the Srimad Bhagavatam, he establishes that conclusion, and then just to ensure that this conclusion should not be shaken even little bit, he takes all the possible Purva Paksha. He takes all possible opposing arguments against that conclusion. Even which we cannot think of those opposing arguments, but he thinks all possible opposing arguments from the other sampradayas. And then each argument he takes, and then he actually gives explanation to those, he gives a counter explanation to that argument. So therefore, when we read those actually books, it is a very thorough presentation, that there is absolutely no chance of even little bit of a loophole. So no loophole is no loop, nothing is actually left out. So that is called as he adopts this Stuna Nikanna Nyaya to establish his conclusions. So the second category of works is the philosophical works. The example is Shad Sandarbha. The third category of the books written by Jiva Goswami is, he has described the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, pastimes of Radha and Krishna, just purely the leelas of Krishna. In books like Gopal Champu, Madhava Mahotsava. So we can see that he wrote not only philosophical books, but also like pastimes of Krishna. And then fourth category of books written by Jiva Goswami are, he wrote certain manuals. Krishna Janma Tithi Vidhi. How to observe the Krishna Janmashtami. And he wrote manuals like Harinamamrita Vyakarana. Harinamamrita Vyakarana is the Vyakarana, the Sanskrit grammar using the names of Lord Krishna. So if we see, the Panini Rishi is considered to be the main authority in the Sanskrit grammar. So reciting the sutras of Panini Vyakaran, it is equivalent to reciting the Vedic mantras. But reciting the sutras of Harinamamrita Vyakarana, it is equivalent to tasting the fruit of the Vedas. Because Harinamamrita Vyakarana contains the holy names of Krishna, which is the ultimate fruit of the Vedas. So, Bhartrihari, he says that tapasam uttamam tapaha, the greatest among the tapasya is to study the Sanskrit grammar. That is it. So, but Jiva Goswami not only actually studied the Sanskrit grammar, but he actually came up with a new system of grammar following the same methodology of Panini grammar, but with the holy names of Krishna. So generally, after, like Krishna says in the Uddhava Gita, like Shabda Brahmani Nishnato Na Nishnayat Pare Yadi. After going through all the Vedas and after reading so many Vedic literatures, if a person does not come to the point of surrendering to the Supreme Lord, then it is like trying to take care of a cow which does not give milk. In taking care of a cow, it requires we in the city, we don't have practical experience of that, but actually the taking care of a cow, it involves like elaborate effort actually to maintain the taking care of the cow, like some people to maintain the land for cultivation, like for the grass, and protect the land from other animals, and taking the cow for grazing, like elaborate work. But after putting so much of effort, if the cow does not give milk. So similarly, after putting so much of effort of studying the Vedic literature, but if a person does not come to the point of surrendering to the Lord, then the effort is actually fruitless, like that Krishna is actually mentioning that in the Uddhava Gita. So that the highest expression of that surrender to the Lord is exhibited by chanting of the holy names. And Jiva Goswami has included the chanting of the holy names in the studying of the Vyakarana. Because studying of the Vyakarana is an important tool for that actually opens the door to read any Vedic literature. But Jiva Goswami has presented the ultimate goal of the Vedas in the path to study the Sanskrit literatures, that is in the process of studying the Vyakarana. So that way we can see Jiva Goswami has written the Harinamamrita Vyakarana. Like for example, in the Harinamamrita Vyakarana, in the Mangalacharan Shloka, Jiva Goswami says that ahata jalpita jatilam drishtva shabdanu shasanasto mamam harinama vali valitam vyakaranam vaishnavartha machinmaha. Seeing that the multitude of grammars are full of meaningless statements, we have strung together a grammar for Vaishnavas made of a garland of the names of Hari. And then he says that Vyakarane Maruni Vritti Jivana Lubda Sadaga Sam Vigna Harinamamritam Yetat Pibantu Shatagava Gahantam. Let those who are perpetually distressed and want to preserve their lives in the midst of the desert of grammar drink this nectar of the names of Hari and dip into it 100 times. So that way, like he says that the effort to actually study the different grammar, it is like a desert, like that he uses the strong words. But in that in the midst of the desert, let the people actually drink the nectar of the names of Hari. So that is why, for example, in the Harinamamrita Vyakarana, like he calls the swara letters, vowels, as the Sarveshwara. Swaras are independent letters. The consonants, actually they take the help of the swara, and we take the help of the swara in order to pronounce the consonants. So consonants are called as the Vishnu Janas. Because Vishnu Janas are the devotees are dependent on Vishnu. So for the vowels are called as the Sarveshwara, which refers to the Supreme Lord. And he says that short vowels are called as the Vamana. And long vowels are called as the Trivikrama. So taking this lead, we will actually go to the Vamana Dwadashi. Lord, Vamana Day is a pastime here. So today is also the Vamana Dwadashi pastime, Vamana Dev's appearance. So this pastime comes in so beautifully in the 8th canto of the Bhagavatam. Actually, it is such an exciting pastime. It comes in so many chapters of the 8th canto. I will just touch upon few points from the Vamana Dwadashi pastime, Vamana Dev's pastime. So first of all, Bali Maharaj, Rupa Goswami, when he describes the Virya Rasa towards the almost at the end of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, maybe Nectar of Devotion 49th or 48th chapter, somewhere around that. So he says that the Virya Rasa can be classified into four categories. Yuddha Vira, Dana Vira, Dharma Vira and Daya Vira. So Yudhishthira Maharaj exhibited his heroism in the performance of the religious activities. He performed so many yajnas, he invited so many devatas and worshipped them. And when he worshipped the devatas, he saw the devatas as limbs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Yudhishthira Maharaj actually experienced Virya Rasa by performing so many religious activities, dharmic activities, but in relation to Krishna, with the vision of Krishna in the center. So in that way he is called as a Dharma Veera. And King Mayur Dwaja, he exhibited heroism in showing compassion. He actually cut off his own body to give charity to somebody who was actually in need of help. Of course, I will not go into the story, but Mayur Dwaja is called as a Dayavira. Drama was also played by some of the devotees some years back. So, and then in the case of Yuddha Vira, so Dharma Vira, Daya Vira and Yuddha Vira. So Yuddha Vira, there are sometimes the cowherd boys would actually fight with Krishna. And in that way they gave an opportunity to Krishna to experience Virya Rasa. Jaya and Vijay, they fought with Lord Vishnu by taking the role of a demon and gave pleasure of Virya Rasa to the Lord. So that is a Virya Rasa, that is a Yuddha Vira. And then the fourth category is Dana Vira. So Dana Vira is that somebody who exhibits heroism in giving charity or accepting charity. So first I will take the category of accepting charity. So one may wonder, like, what is the heroism in accepting charity? So here Rupa Goswami says that Dhruva Maharaj exhibited heroism when he made the statement, Swamin Kritartosmi Varam Na Yache. Because when the Supreme Lord was right in front of him, he performed intense austerities for 6 months, and then when the Lord appeared right in front of him, who was ready to offer anything, but when he made that statement that I am completely satisfied, whatever I desired previously, now I consider that to be broken pieces of glass, to actually make that statement and mean that statement, it really requires heroism. Because heroism means what? Heroism is shown by the soldiers in fighting battle. Like, when there is uncertainty, you can get killed, but still to go into the battle and then to face the battle with courage, that requires heroism. But another kind of heroism is that when somebody who can award anything to you, who can award the highest thing in the world, and he can leave any time, but he has appeared in front of you, but to make the statement that I just want devotional service unto you, and I don't want anything material, that requires actually heroism. So Dhruva Maharaj showed heroic purity by making that statement, Swamin Kritartosmi Varamna Yache. And another kind of Dhanavira, another kind of heroism in charity is exhibited by giving charity. Because generally the wealth we have, that is the source of our security. But to let go of that wealth for a higher purpose, especially here in relation to Krishna, for the service of Krishna. So to let go of that wealth, even that would mean that our security would actually reduce, or our security can become uncertain. That also requires heroism, and that was demonstrated by Bali Maharaj. So therefore, he is called as a Dhanavira. So the Bali Maharaj character, so when we see that when Vamanadev came to Bali Maharaj, when Bali Maharaj was ready to give anything to Vamanadev, at that time Shukracharya advised Bali Maharaj not to give charity to Vamanadev. And Shukracharya gave different reasons. And whatever reasons which Shukracharya gave, they were based on dharmic scriptures only. He said that learned people, actually the person who has come to ask charity is Vishnu, and he is going to take away everything from you. And learned people, they don't appreciate that charity which actually endangers one's livelihood. And if everything is taken away from you, then you can't even maintain your body, you can't practice any dharmic principles. So, and even though you have given the word to Vamanadev, it is all right, because there are certain instances where a person is allowed to speak a lie in arranging for a marriage, or in a person's life is in danger, sometimes in a joking, this one can speak a lie, like that he mentioned. So it is all right, like that Shukracharya told. So Shukracharya, we can see, like Shukracharya essentially said that, yes, I understand that charity is an important principle, but then you have to balance charity with your own existence. You shouldn't indulge in such kind of charity where you lose everything, all your property. So Shukracharya, like many times there are different motivational speakers, we also speak about balancing. We say that, oh, you have to take there are different aspects of the life, your health and relationships, and then your work, and then family, and then spiritual aspect. You have to balance all the different aspects. Just like when you do exercise of the body, you have to strengthen all the different muscles of the body. So many motivational speakers, they also speak about balancing. So Shukracharya also in one sense speak about the balancing. You have to balance charity with your own existence. But if we see, the purpose of balancing is ultimately for the ultimately to increase our surrender to the Lord. So many times in trying to balance, we may forget the purpose of that balance. And Prabhupada writes this point so clearly in the Isopanishad purport. Vidyam cha vidyam cha yas tadvedo ubayam saha vidyaya vidyam cha avidyam cha yas tadvedo ubayam saha avidyaya mrityum tirtva vidyaya mritam ashnute. He says that one must know both vidya and avidya simultaneously. One should know spiritual knowledge, transcendental knowledge, which helps us to get liberation from this world, the path of devotional service. And one should also know the material knowledge, the principles of living in this world. Only a person who knows both these, he can actually enjoy the full blessings of immortality, like that he says. Like that the verse comes, and Prabhupada writes in the purport that the Vedic literatures offer a very balanced program of living in this world and also leaving this world. And then he clarifies, but the purpose of the balanced program is ultimately to inquire about the real goal of life, and which is what Srimad Bhagavatam mentions in the beginning, that jivasya kamasya nendriya preetir labo jiveta yavata jivasya tatva jignyasa narto yascheha karmabhi. The real purpose of life is not kama, but it's ultimately to inquire about the absolute truth. So Shukracharya told about this balancing part, but the purpose of balancing is to surrender to the Lord. So therefore, when we speak about balancing different aspects of life, but if we don't hint about the purpose of balancing is some transcendental purpose. So many speakers, they may speak about balancing, but then if we give the message, the purpose of balancing, you must also take care of the spiritual aspect of life so that you can enjoy your material aspect better. That means we fail to actually highlight the purpose of balancing. So the purpose of balancing the material and spiritual aspects of life is not to actually increase the material aspect, to enjoy the material life better, but ultimately to progress towards the spiritual life. So Shukracharya, he only spoke about the balancing. So therefore, he gave a very practical guidance. But then, in the name of practicality, one should not neglect the ideal principles. So the ideal principles are like increasing our surrender to the Lord. So that ideal principle should not be compromised in the name of practicality. And on the other hand, sometimes in following the ideal principles, we shouldn't neglect practicality also, because from the long-term point of view, the practicality is also important. So that is why the ideal principle is the principles of Bhagavad Dharma, the principles of pleasing the Supreme Lord. And the practical principles are the Varnashram Dharma, which talks about living in this world. So when we actually teach the Varnashram Dharma, those who teach Varnashram Dharma should not fail to teach the goal of Varnashram Dharma, the ideal principle of pleasing the Supreme Lord. And those who teach Bhagavad Dharma, they should give practical guidance based on the Varnashram Dharma. Like one spiritualist, he was guiding some people. Some women asked them, that spiritual leader, that whom should we get married to, like that. So that spiritual leader said that, get married to Krishna. So that is the ideal principle. In fact, every living entity, whether a male or a female, should get married to Krishna in our heart. But the practical guidance is that, if you are given the practical guidance, you should get married to maybe some particular boy, some practical guidance of how to choose a boy or how to, but that practical guidance was not given. So therefore, in teaching the ideal principle, we should also give practical guidance based on Varnashram Dharma. But Shukracharya, he was giving practical guidance about, if you lose everything in giving charity, then what will happen? But then in giving the practical guidance, he was telling Bali Maharaj not to surrender to the Supreme Lord, which is the purpose of all the principles of Dharma. So, just a few more points. When Bali Maharaj actually responded to those arguments of Shukracharya, Bali Maharaj, if you see, Bali Maharaj speaks some 10 verses. So Bali Maharaj, he had a great respect for Shukracharya, because Shukracharya was the person who revived Bali Maharaj after he died. Bali Maharaj actually died after the demigods, they got strength by drinking the nectar. They fought with the Bali Maharaj, and then Bali Maharaj actually died in the battlefield. And Shukracharya, with his Mrityu Sanjeevani mantra, he actually revived Bali Maharaj. So, but Bali Maharaj had great gratitude towards Shukracharya, one who gave life to him, next life to him. But Bali Maharaj, with great respect, he actually disagrees with Shukracharya. So the same, like just like Arjuna, he had such great respect for Bhishma and Drona. And that respect for Bhishma and Drona was causing an hindrance for him to fight the battle. So if you see the Bhagavad Gita, how it changed the consciousness of Arjuna was that, after hearing the Gita, Arjuna maintained that same respect towards Bhishma and Drona. But with that same respect towards Bhishma and Drona, he shot arrows at Bhishma and Drona. So it's really a great thing to respect the person, to respect the position in which the person is standing. At the same time, you actually disagree with the person based on the principles of Dharma. So to balance both these aspects, that requires a maturity, and that is what he did to Arjuna after hearing the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. So we see, because Bali Maharaj was guided by the Prahlad Maharaj, so Bali Maharaj, he actually disagreed with Shukracharya with respect. So when Bali Maharaj rejected Shukracharya, it did not mean that he disrespected Shukracharya. Because the same Bhagavatam says that when he went to Sutala Loka, he went along with Shukracharya. So Bali Maharaj, when he gave different actually reasons to Shukracharya, actually the real reason for Bali Maharaj wanting to give charity to Vamanadeva was that out of love for Vamanadeva, he wanted to surrender everything to Vamanadeva. But the reasons he gave to Shukracharya were, I am born in a family of Prahlad Maharaj, so how can I actually cheat a Brahmana? It will bring infamy to my whole dynasty. So he didn't want to actually bring a bad name to Prahlad Maharaj. Another reason he gives is that earth will tolerate everyone except a liar. So I don't want to be a big burden to the mother earth. I don't want to cause burden to my mother. And another reason he gives is that for a Kshatriya to get an opportunity to fight in the battle for Dharma is very rare. But even more rare for a Kshatriya is to get an opportunity to give charity to a qualified Brahmana. So I don't want to lose this opportunity. And then he is speaking from a dharmic point of view. And then another reason he gives is that actually there are so many kings like Shibi Maharaj and other people, they actually gave up their wealth. They gave up their wealth for a superior purpose. So I also want to give charity, because by giving charity, I will gain reputation even after I die. But if I have wealth, maybe I will be able to enjoy my senses when I am living, but I may not have reputation after I die. So I am interested in the fame, so therefore I want to give charity. So that I will get reputation even after I die. And then he says that one of the greatest thing I fear is cheating a Brahmana. Because there are so many sections in the scriptures which talk about one should never cheat a Brahmana, one should respect a Brahmana. So I have already given a word to this Brahmana who has come in the form of a Brahmachari, that so I don't want to cheat this Brahmana. So, but he gave all these reasons, but the reason at the core of his heart was that he wanted to surrender to the Lord. So, because he was surrounded by many demons and Shukracharya, he didn't tell that real reason. So, similarly, when we are living in this world, so, like, for a Vaishnava, the core identity is that Jivera Swarupohoi Krishnera Nityadas. But many times, when you are living in this world, when you are surrounded by certain people, we cannot exhibit that core identity in public. We may have to, like, behave ourselves on certain other identities. Like, we have a identity related to our language, mother tongue. We have an identity related to the place of our birth, or we have an identity related to, as an Indian, or connected to the dharmic culture. So many times we may have to operate on those identities, but keeping that Vaishnava identity within our heart. As we sometimes, when Prabhupada once came to the airport, and some disciples, they brought a Vyasasan, huge Vyasasan, from the temple to the airport, because they felt that how can Prabhupada sit in the same chair in which the Karmis are sitting in the airplane. But then other people in the airport, they were getting bewildered, actually, what is happening in the airport? So they were getting bewildered. So Prabhupada said, do not do this ever. You may have your devotion, but then keep it in your heart. You cannot exhibit like this in the airport. So Bali Maharaj, he behaved like that. He didn't exhibit the real reason to Shukracharya. So lastly, that Madhavendra Puri, he speaks this very famous verse. He says that, Mugdam mam nigadantu niti nipuna brantam muhur vaidika. Let the sharp moralist accuse me of being illusioned. I don't mind. Experts in Vedic activities may slander me as being misled. Friends and relatives may call me as being frustrated. My brothers may call me as a fool. The wealthy mammonites may point me out as mad. And the learned philosophers may assert that I am too much proud. Still my mind does not budge an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Govinda, though I am unable to do it. So this is such a profound verse spoken by Madhavendra Puri, but this verse was exemplified by Bali Maharaj. Because Bali Maharaj went through all these situations which were mentioned by Madhavendra Puri in this verse. Even after Bali Maharaj gave all his possessions in charity in the first two steps, and for the third step he offered himself, but still Bali Maharaj was actually criticized by all the demons, and Bali Maharaj was even chastised by his wife Vindhyavali. Bali Maharaj was actually, the Vamanade bound Bali Maharaj with the Varuna Pasha. Oh, you cheated me, you promised me that you will give three steps, but you gave only two steps. So Vamanade actually bound Bali Maharaj with the Varuna Pasha. But generally, when somebody gives charity, or when somebody does any great activity, but after doing that great activity, one has the feeling, I have performed such great activities. Like, one has that the sense of righteousness. It is called the sin of righteousness. So sometimes after doing so much, when somebody is ill-treated, one feels that one starts seeking justice. There is also a room for seeking justice. Krishna wanted the Pandavas to seek justice. But here in the case of Bali Maharaj did not seek justice with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because when you seek justice, you lose the shelter of Krishna. You may be perfectly right, but then sometimes when we keep seeking justice, especially with the superiors, with the spiritual masters or the Supreme Lord, when we seek justice, we lose actually the shelter of Krishna. Yeah, we may have to seek justice so that the wrong people, they don't keep exploiting the common people. Because Krishna wanted Pandavas to seek justice, because otherwise the common people would be exploited with the Duryodhana and company. So, but when it comes to our personal sake, when our personal this thing, when we are ill-treated or when we seek that some higher spiritual authorities have mistreated us, so when we become very particular about seeking justice, we may lose the shelter of Krishna. So at that time, Bali Maharaj exhibited his surrender by this profound verse, Pumsam shlagyatamam manye dandam arhatta marpitam yamna mata pita brata sugrudas chadishantihi. He said that, I consider the punishment given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be greater than the welfare exhibited by the father, mother, or the guardians of this world. So he exhibited that profound consciousness, which is also the, which is in one sense the same consciousness exhibited by Srimati Radharani in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the 8th verse of Shikshashtakam. Whether you trample me or whether you neglect me or whether you embrace me, you are the master. So Bali Maharaj exhibited the same consciousness of surrender to Vamanadev. So in this way we see that the profound character of Bali Maharaj, how Bali Maharaj exhibited his heroic charity and he became glorious as a Mahajan. And we also discussed the Jiva Goswami's contribution in the form of the so many Vaishnava literatures to the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So I'll stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Thank you.